the book of 2 Chronicles, in chapter 36. 2 Chronicles in chapter 36, and along with a few other scriptures, we'll be going once again this evening back and forth between there and 2 Kings 24. This is still, you recall, in conjunction with our studies in the book of Exodus. This is to kind of give us a background of the time of the book of Ezekiel and Ezekiel's life and times and the kings leading up to it. Well, actually, I believe the first captivity of Judah was during the reign of Manasseh, and his was such an evil and wicked reign that we'll be looking at him just briefly, if not this week, next week. But we've titled this point "The Reign of Four Kings," and last week we looked at Jehoahaz and his wicked reign, and the fact that him being the son of Josiah, who Josiah had a good reign. That is, he walked in the ways of David his father, and which was to walk in the ways of the Lord. But Jehoahaz, his son, wasn't so. His was an evil reign. He did evil and wickedly in the sight of the Lord. And his reign was a short reign, noted by his wickedness. And Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt, deposed him and taxed the people of Judah heavily and set Jehoiakim, his brother, on the throne. Another son of Josiah. And tonight we'll be looking at Jehoiakim. We said that we can learn this lesson from Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim, as well as Zedekiah, who was also a son of Josiah, that mom and dad, righteousness is not imputed to the children. That is, the children are not saved because of mom and dad being saved. And their righteousness is not imputed to us, the children. And we said in closing last week that there may be some who are saved but have gone off in wicked paths. So as you wouldn't know they were saved, they were children of the Lord. And I've heard folks say, well, you know, the Bible talked about the last days and there would be a falling away. Remember the note we ended on? But that doesn't have to be me. That doesn't have to be you. You see, just because the rest of the religious world, just because of the rest of the churches, the rest of brothers and sisters in Christ are falling away from the truth and failing to be steadfast anymore, doesn't mean that you and I have to. We are called upon to follow the Lord and called upon to be steadfast in the faith and to contend for the truth. Then tonight, beginning with Jehoiakim, and we find his reign in verses 4 through 8 of the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and let's read these five verses, verses 4 through 8. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah, that is, Jehoahaz's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. In choosing Jehoahaz's replacement, King Necho, or Pharaoh Necho, chose another son of Josiah, named Eliakim, whom, as we read, the king of Egypt changed his name to Jehoiakim. And what the significance and the meaning behind the changing of the names, I don't know. I thought maybe it might be to change it from a name that was after God to a name that was after their idolatry worship, but you look at the meanings of both names and you don't see that being so. So what the meaning behind that was, I don't know, other than this was your name, this because that's who you were, but now I'm king, now Egypt is over you, this is your name. But he was 25 years old when he began to reign. Verse 25. What a young man, huh? I know when you're 21 years old, you think, boy, you've got it now. You're an adult. You're old. Well, I can remember feeling that way at 18 years of age. I'm 18 now. I'm big stuff, you know? And I'm mature, and now, what is it to tell you? Your brain doesn't stop growing until you're 25, you know, and that goes to maturity level, and so forth. But he was 25 years old. He did that which was evil. Evil in the sight of the Lord, said verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. I have to think back. My life, and yes, I was saved at 25 years of age, and I think how much wickedness I wrought as a 25-year-old. Saved! 25-year-old. Jehoiakim did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. How much evil did he work? Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 24. in verses 1 through 4. In his days, that is Jehoiakim's, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. That is, he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He'd already rebelled against God. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Rebelled against God. Showed his lack of respect and for authority and for those who were over him. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans and bands of Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. I have to believe that Jehoiakim was part in this, but the last two verses, verses 3 and 4 that we read, are directly relating to Manasseh and the evil that he wrought. Remember, Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. The king of Babylon laid siege upon Jerusalem and Judah and bound Jehoiakim. Verse 6 in chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles tells us that. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, that against Jehoiakim came up Nebuchadnezzar, which was where chapter 24 started off. King of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar carried away not only the king, but notice what he carried away. He carried away the precious vessels of the house of the Lord. He carried them to Babylon. He carried them to set them in the Babylon's temple. Look, read verse 7. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Just think about that. I mean, to carry those things that were in the house of the Lord, the house of the true God, and was there for worship of the true God. God permits it to be carried away to Babylon. Well, why not? Why not? As we continue on in the study of these four kings, you're going to see that Israel had left off, had forsaken the worship of God. They had brought false worship into the house of the Lord. Why not? Those things didn't mean anything to the children of Israel any longer, did they? Notice that God's judgment upon them was foretold. We read in verse 2 of chapter 24, they said, and the Lord set against him bands of Chaldees, bands of Syrians, and bands of Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophet. It was foretold. Well, when was it foretold? Well, let's see. We had Jehoahaz. We're at Jehoiakim now. We had Jehoahaz. And we had Josiah. And we had Ammon. And we had Manasseh. Four kings ago. Turn with me back to the 21st chapter of 2 Kings. 21st chapter of 2 Kings. This is all important because it goes to Ezekiel's time period. The time, day and time in which Ezekiel lived, and the day and time in which Ezekiel was carried away captive to Babylon. And as he was in exile with the exiles by the river Kibar. Verse 1 of chapter 21, and like to read 16 verses. We'll be doing quite a bit of reading tonight. But listen to the scriptures. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. Now remember, I told you that quite often the length of their reign was an indicator of whether it was a good reign or a wicked reign. But I said that didn't always hold true. And here's a case where it didn't hold true. 55 years Manasseh reigned in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You see, the Lord had told Israel that because the people before them had done so wickedly, is why that he was driving them out. And ushering in the Israelites. And now, here we are, during Manasseh's reign, a king of Judah, doing even more wicked than those that were in the land that the Lord drove out. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. Any host you can imagine in the heavens. That's the stars, you know, astrology. Nobody here is caught up in astrology, are they? You know, I have people ask me from time to time, what's your sign? I said, that's garbage. I don't worship that. I worship the Lord God. He has my paths ordained, you see, and not the stars, you see. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. He built altars to other gods, to the gods of the heavens, in the house of the Lord. Isn't that something? Be careful. Be careful. Maybe we've done it. Maybe we're guilty. You ever come into the house of the Lord for self? For selfish reasons? Or maybe you came for Brother Pack. We ought to come for no other purpose than to worship the Lord. I get to spend time in the Lord's house today. I get to sing praises to Him. I get to hear the preaching of the Word. And yes, the fellowship with the brothers and sisters is important. But that's not why we've come. And He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. I have a son. I can't imagine making my son pass through the fire. That didn't mean making him walk through the fire. That means he offered him a sacrifice, probably to Molech. That was who they offered their children to. He set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And he made the people of the land to do more wicked than the people the Lord destroyed when Israel took the land. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies. Because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. What a wicked reign Manasseh's was. And the Lord, through his prophets, prophesied of the destruction of the captivity that was to come upon them that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 24 under Jehoiakim's. That's coming to pass under Jehoiakim. Chapter 22, verses 8 through 20, Josiah, during Josiah's good reign, he tore down the high places and repaired the doors to the house of the Lord, and in the house of the Lord they found the book. And evidently the book they found was the book of this prophecy that we just read to you in Manasseh's day. Verse 8 of chapter 22 says, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants were gathered, have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah a servant of the king saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Azahiah, went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Because Josiah's good reign, because Josiah feared the Lord and did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, because Josiah humbled himself before the Lord and repented, the Lord said, not in your day. Not in your day. You'll go to your grave in peace. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Chapter 14. Verses 10 through 12. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, Pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Lord delivering the word to Jeremiah during the same time period. Chapter 15. In verses 1 through 6. Then said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, Thus saith the Lord, Such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity, and I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem, or who shall bemoan thee, or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, thou art gone backward, therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. You see what we read in 2 Kings 24, verse 2? It was well foretold beforehand of the coming. Jehoiakim, beginning to reap in his day and time. And he dies at the young age of 36. You all think back to when you were 36? Wasn't old, was it? Wasn't old in Jehoiakim's day either. Probably, he probably died in Jerusalem, was probably never carried away captive. We say that because of Jeremiah's word in chapter 22. A word that Jeremiah was told concerning Jehoiakim. Chapter 22 and verses 18 and 19. It says, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Not even going to be buried within the gates of Jerusalem. So we say that he probably died at 36 years of age and probably in Jerusalem, and then was carried without the gates and buried. What is the point of all this? Well, if nothing else that we take from it, we can take this from it. We shall reap what we sow. You and I, we're reading in here what these men reaped, what Judah reaped, and if we were studying Israel, what Israel reaped. They reaped what they sowed. And you and I reap what we sowed. All of us are old enough now, we're probably reaping now what we sowed as young men. I know I am. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 24. And look with me at verse 20. Proverbs 24 and verse 20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. You say, well, that's not applying to me. I'm saved. It's not. I can tell you of one instant personally, another incident that I've heard of, so to speak, by our terminology of individuals dying before their time. Now we know that doesn't happen. That can happen. Our bounds have been set. But God uses the wicked devices of man to bring to pass that which he has decreed. While we were members in Waseon, there was a family that came into the church and back into the church, and we were excited to have them back. They'd been members years before. They moved away, and then they years later they came back, moved back to the area, and came back. And it wasn't too long. This man began to rail on the pastor, and he couldn't leave it go. And he was working with three other men in the church in construction. And he and another fella, he got this other fella on his side, and they were just working the pastor over the whole day long. Your former pastor was in the middle of that. And he talked to my dad and sought counsel what he should do. If I remember right, Dad advised him, you need to talk to the pastor. But the thing come to a head, and the man was disciplined out of the church. And it wasn't but about a year. Well, it wasn't a year. He got sick shortly afterwards, and within a year, he passed on out of this life. And if his wife were still alive today, she'd tell you she believed the Lord took him because of that. You see, you're going to reap what you sow. What did the verse say? For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. He sowed wickedness. Whether he was wicked in heart or not, I don't know. Only the Lord knows. I assumed all the years I knew him, he was a saved man. I still think he was, because the Lord dealt with him. There's another man that caused pastor all kinds of fits, and the pastor had the courage and gumption to stick it out, and that man was disciplined out of the church, and that man lived to be 80-some years old. He was a Diotrephes. Love to have the preeminence. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Chapter 3. In verse 11. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. He'll be given his reward. It won't be a good reward. It won't be a reward that you and I think ought to be. We're familiar with the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I tell you firsthand,
brethren, it's more pleasant to reap the spiritual than it is to reap to the flesh.
One other passage, and we'll close with this, in the book of Hosea, chapter 10. You see, we don't fool God. In fact, many times we act as though God's not seeing what's going on. We forget that He's aware of our behavior, and that He is the judge, and that He's going to take care of things. Hosea chapter 10, and look with me at verse 12, said, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy." Oh, I'd rather sow to righteousness. Why? Because I need the mercy of God every day. I need it every moment, every day. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Listen, we need to be breaking up our fallow ground. We need to be tilling our ground and seeking the Lord, and seeking His righteousness. And He'll be merciful to us. Don't need to be following. Oh, wickedness is all about us. Wickedness is in our churches. Brother Pat gets around to a lot of different churches. He probably sees it more than most of us do. The wickedness that has crept into the Lord's churches. Ought not to be, brother. Ought not to be. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer? We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank You for the privilege that has been ours to be in Thy house and to worship Thee. We thank You for the time spent with Your people. But Lord, we thank You most of all for Your Word and the reading of Your Word and the Scriptures that we have there that are served to be examples and reminders to us. Yes, that if we sow wickedness, we shall reap likewise. Oh, Father, it's much more pleasant to think about sowing righteousness and reaping mercy and the benefits that come from Thee. Oh, Father, help us to be in this wicked and adulterous generation. Help us to be faithful and steadfast, seeking Thee in all that we do and say, that we might be a light in this dark world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.